Callum McSwiggan on Foo Bar Radio.
Oh, you're so filthy. And I'm gorgeous.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today is a very, very, very special episode as it is London Pride. And I am joined in the studio here with two very special guests, two girls that I've been dying to get on the show for ages. It's the lovely Bloom girls, Brogan and Libby. Or Libby and Brogan. Which way round do we do it?
I feel like it's always Libby and Brogan.
Well, let's change it up and have it be Brogan and Libby this week.
Yeah, Libby's like the lead.
So you guys have an amazing LGBT plus YouTube channel where you kind of share your lives, you do a lot of vlogging together. Tell our lovely listeners a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, so we do like a lot of different bits and bobs on the show. Like we do like, so we have like an art section, then we do like style bits, and then we do like lots of like vlogs and stuff. But yeah, I think, tell a bit more.
It's just kind of a lovely mixture, really. So we do lots of LGBT stuff, So we make sure that we do that. So we have a little section called Style It Out. That's one of our favourites, where we take like LGBT film and TV characters and then recreate their look, which is really, really, really fun. And then, so we do like art kind of stuff as well. So it's just, it's a whole mixture of lovely things.
And what kind of like inspired you? What kind of led you to sharing your lives on YouTube in this way? Because it is, you know, sharing your relationship online is quite an intimate and quite personal thing to do. So what kind of made you go, you know what, we want to share our love and our life in this way?
Yeah, so we were working at a company that had lots of different YouTube channels and stuff.
Okay.
So we were both working there on different YouTube channels. So I was an illustrator on Draw My Life and Libby was working on All Time Tens. And because we were living together, we were like, we'd love to do our own. And we saw how hard YouTubers work. So we were like, we're going to give this a go because we really appreciate how hard YouTubers work. So we were like, let's give it a go. So we started out and we literally were just like flailing, like coming up with like random things to do. And then we realized the best and most comfortable thing for us to do was just to film ourselves, just talking to each other.
I think so.
And just like getting to know, like kind of showing people what we get up to together.
Yeah, and I think kind of an overwhelming piece of feedback I get given and I see other LGBT plus YouTubers getting given is that it's just so lovely and reassuring and almost, you could almost say empowering to see people just living their lives and being authentically themselves, because there are so many kind of queer youth out there who don't have role models, they don't have people to look up to, they don't really have other LGBT plus people in their lives, and just being able to click onto YouTube and see just two lovely girls like yourselves just kind of living your lives and doing your thing, it's almost like just by being you and just by being there, it's almost like an act of protest or defiance.
Yeah,
like you're filling that space.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's definitely that. We wanted it to be something that, you know, a teen that is worried about their sexuality, you know, coming onto YouTube and then like watching us and being like, it's okay to be in a relationship. If you're a woman being in a relationship with a woman or whoever you love, like, it's absolutely fine. And I've also found that doing LGBT stuff on our channel has actually been quite cathartic for me in a way, and has made me also accept my sexuality even more so. Mm-hmm. Which I've kind of found really interesting, and it's kind of like I'm more proud than I was.
Yeah.
And I think anything, YouTube is such a great thing for that, because there's such a wonderful LGBT community on YouTube. And connecting with everyone has just been
great. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, actually, like, from doing this channel, we've had, like, so many opportunities to meet other LGBT YouTubers and content creators. And it just makes me feel so, like you have that community. And I don't think I realised it as much until I was doing this.
Yeah, and I have to kind of emphasise that the LGBT plus YouTube community for me has been absolutely incredible. I moved to London by myself with no friends, didn't know anybody here, and it was fellow LGBT plus YouTubers that kind of reached out to me and became friends with me. And there really aren't as many LGBT plus YouTubers in the UK as people think. We're actually quite a small kind of community, but we are all very close, and I think, and I mean, that's why you guys are here now. That's how we met. That's how so many of us meet, and I love that we're almost like a little family.
Yeah, it's really lovely, isn't it?
I think we went to a little event the other day at Gaze the Word Bookshop.
Yes, I love that place.
Yeah, it's so great.
Lovely.
It's lovely. It's just like, it's an absolute haven for LGBT books. If you're on the hunt for an LGBT book, go to Gaze the Word. It's incredible.
It's like they've read every single book there.
Yeah.
Like any book you look at, they're like, this is great because of this and this, and you're like, how do you know that?
Yeah, it's incredible as well, because they are the only LGBT plus bookshop in the UK. Which is, you know, think of Amsterdam, for instance. They have 7 LGBT plus bookshops in the city alone, and we only have one in all of the UK. And the bookstore has been there for decades. It has such an amazing history, and I love it there. It's a great place to find queer fiction or read about LGBT plus history.
Yeah.
And they're so lovely. They're so nice. And I kind of just want to give them a shout out, actually, because recently they had like their window smashed, like in like homophobic attack, I guess. I just like to support them as much as possible. If I'm ever going to buy a book, even if I have to trek across town, I make sure I go there.
Definitely. Yeah. Like the other day, we finished work at 6, but the place was about to close. So we basically ran, sprinted to the shop so we could just run in and grab a book. And they were so lovely. They were like, oh, you know, like, do you need some help and stuff? They're just such lovely people there as well. But yeah, we went to an event there, and there was a lot of LGBT booktubers there, and well, they know a lot about books.
Oh yeah, I love LGBT plus books. I mean, it's basically all I read.
Yeah,
I should maybe expand a little bit.
Yeah, I think like I've recently got into it, and I was just like, why have I not been reading lesbian fiction before? This is like my favorite thing to do, but now I'm kind of like, I don't want to read a book with a straight couple in it anymore. I just don't want to do it.
Well, because we can really relate to the characters in a way that you just can't with heterosexual fiction.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd refer to it as heterosexual fiction. And yet here we are.
The devil.
And you know, I'm sure in some ways that heterosexual people may struggle to read queer fiction. And I think that's okay. I think as long as you have a dabble and you have a read and you have a look around and then say, you know, I relate to this more and this is what I want to read, I think that's absolutely fine. I love reading about gay characters because I feel like I can really, really understand them. We do have a different set of shared experiences.
Yeah, and it's really nice to change like my Google search, because I used to just Google search like lesbians in any TV series.
Yes, yeah.
At all. And now it's like lesbian novels, and I'm like, wow,
and there's just so many.
It's so much more.
Mine is just, my Google search is just entirely gay porn, and then every now
love
and then, what's this piece of queer fiction? Before we came in, Brogan, you were telling me that it's going to be your first London Pride. Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
But it's not yours, Libby.
It's my first London Pride as well.
It's both of your first.
We're terrible. We're terrible lesbians.
So have you done any Prides before?
We have done Prides before. So I thought London Pride was normally the same kind of weekend as Glastonbury, or I'm lying about that.
I think you're lying about that.
Am I lying about that? That's a massive lie that you've just told. That's so bad. I'm so sorry. I am a liar. I don't know why we've never been before, but we've been to Brighton Pride.
Like, you have no excuse because you grew up in England.
Yeah, I did.
For
really
shame.
Really close to like
for
London.
Shame.
I know,
so.
What's wrong with me?
Okay, so tell me about your Brighton Pride experiences.
Oh, it was amazing.
You've just been the one time.
I know. Why don't we go to Pride? What are we doing with our lives?
Oh my God, it was incredible.
When was this, last year?
It was not...
2 years ago, I think.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah. And we met some friends up there, and oh my God, it was just so good. Like, we were covered in face paint, everything, glitter everywhere, and then we were just dancing for the whole day, and it was such a lovely sunny day as well, and we met so many people there.
Yeah,
it was incredible. I don't know why we haven't been to London yet.
Yeah, I don't know what we've been doing. I've been to Bristol and Bristol Pride, that was a good one.
Yeah,
and then it was me and my friend, and we went to see Sink the Pink.
Oh yeah, gorgeous. I think what I love about all of these kind of like Sink the Pink or Pride or whatever it is, I think for the first time ever, really, we get to be in a space that is dominated by LGBT plus people. We get to be surrounded by our peers, surrounded by people who have grown up with the same experiences, people who feel the same as us and feel completely safe. There's been a big on social media, there's been like news reports trending over the past week about I think it was 2/3 of LGBT plus couples fear holding hands in public, and I know that is something that has definitely affected me. I've had ex-boyfriends who just wouldn't hold my hand because they were so afraid of doing so. I don't let it stop me, but I do feel that fear. Sometimes you'll pass a group of lads or girls or whatever it is in the street, and you know, you feel that fear. Sometimes it's, am I going to get beaten up? Sometimes it's, are they going to shout abuse at me? Sometimes it's just, are they going to give us a funny look? But I think so many of us experience that fear. And what I love about Pride is that, you know, I've marched in the London Pride Parade, I've done Washington DC, Amsterdam, I've done all kinds of parades all over, and always then when I'll hold a friend's hand and I will feel completely comfortable and completely safe.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really unique experience that is, and I mean, that's why
Definitely.
Pride is so important.
I think that's actually what we felt when we were at Brighton Pride. It was just that, like, when we were there and holding hands for the whole day, I wasn't even thinking in my head, someone's going to shout abuse or say something or anything like that. And it was just, that is a lovely, lovely feeling, and it makes your heart feel all fuzzy.
Yeah, and to be surrounded by other people that are doing the same thing, it makes you, it's so nice.
Yeah.
I found, because I lived in Ireland for a long time, when I was there, Libby was living with me there for a year, I would have felt more nervous to hold hands and stuff like that when I was there. But then since moving to London, I've noticed I feel more comfortable here, just because I think there's, I don't know, I think it's just it was a smaller city.
Yes.
And I think that's what's really, like, especially big cities as well, like, with a big pride. It's just like getting everyone involved is just really lovely.
Yeah. And it really is lovely how everyone just comes together, and there's a real special, special atmosphere. It's a really special thing. And I just think anyone that hasn't experienced it, you know, get out there. As long as you feel safe and comfortable doing so, do get out there and attend a Pride this year, because my first Pride definitely changed my life. It changed my whole perspective on everything. So, yeah. We're going to be talking a little bit more about Pride. But before that, let's have a little bit of Big Girls by Mika.
Big girls, you are beautiful.
All right, let's get a little bit controversial.
Okay, let's do it. I was waiting for this.
So I kind of want to know what your thoughts are with Pride and brands getting involved.
Okay.
So, like, for instance, like, we're drinking these drinks here in the studio, which are from WOW, and they're raising money for Pride with their rainbow-themed bottles, which is an amazing thing. And there are so many brands out there. I mean, I've got Skittles here as well, and they lose their rainbow every year to raise money for Switchboard, another charity. And that's amazing. And there are so many brands out there who do amazing things around Pride every single year. They release a rainbow range that maybe raises money, etc. But then I think there are some brands who just kind of jump on the idea of Pride for their own benefit, to, you know, push their own sales. And sometimes they're not donating to charity or anything. They're just like, come and buy our rainbow stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have an issue with that, but I'm really interested to know what you guys think.
So I think I'm kind of the same as you, really. If they are raising money for LGBT rights or charities or whatever it is, then that's great. And you are more than, you know, you can use the rainbow, that's fine. You're allowed to use it.
Yeah.
But I just think if they are kind of just using it for sales, it doesn't make sense to me. Or if it's a brand that then you look into them and it's like the people that work for them, the LGBT people that work for them, don't have like the same rights that they do when they're like working there, and it's really bad for LGBT people working in that company, then that's also rubbish, because it's just like,
yeah
they've got to do something. They can't just do nothing. But then at the same time, it's like, but they're also like saying they are supportive of it, even if they are making money from it. It's kind of the same argument as like Topshop or someone like that putting like feminist on their t-shirts. It's like, is
yes,
that for them
very
making
good
money?
Very good point.
Or is it because they want to raise awareness, and then 14-year-old girls will be like, yeah, I'm a feminist, but that's really cool. Like,
yeah.
A 14-year-old girl being like, I'm a feminist, it's on my t-shirt, but then it's also like great for Topshop's profits. So it's kind of, yeah.
I kind of think like, I think it's great that they're doing it, but I think it would be great to see that they also do it when it's not just Pride Month, or when it's not just an event that's happening, then they're like jumping on it.
Yeah.
It would be really nice to see them actually do it like all year round.
Yeah, which so few brands, I'm actually struggling to think of even one off the top of my head. So few brands do it all year round. I think I can't think of anyone. And you know, if you're a fashion company, then why not sell Pride clothes all year round?
Yeah.
I would buy them.
I would buy them.
Yeah,
all
I would
the
buy
time.
Them. There'd be such a market for them. I'd be like, oh my god, there's so many rainbow clothes here, please. I mean, I'm wearing a rainbow t-shirt at the moment. Actually, this was from Urban Outfitters, and this wasn't during Pride Month. So well done to Urban Outfitters for that.
Yeah, I'm wearing a River Island Love Not Labels one, which goes
lovely.
To anti-bullying charity Ditch the Label.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So there are definitely brands out
there.
Yeah,
there are brands out there that will
amazing
do it.
Work. So how do we feel then if there is a brand and say they're putting something like, it's okay to be LGBT+, it's okay to be queer, and they put that across their t-shirt, but their t-shirt then doesn't donate any money? Do you think, you know, is that still a good thing because they are spreading the awareness, like you said?
Yeah.
Or do you think it's not good enough for them to just do that and donate money?
I think it's still a good thing, because it's better to see that slogan on a t-shirt than like, boys will be boys.
Oh, for God's sake, I hate those. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, I think it's a good thing, because I'd rather see that. But it would be nice for them to actually, like, so even if they made sure that the like LGBT community were like represented in their employees and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That would be, I think, more important in the long run.
Yes, because I do think there are a lot of brands out there who will join in the Pride Parade, and they'll be there waving their rainbow flags, and they may have like slogans like, it's great to be LGBT+, or whatever it is. And then you actually look at what they're doing within their company, and they're not supporting people, they're not supporting trans people, not supporting people of colour, etc. And yeah, I think that's right. You can't just use Pride as a way to like pinkwash and make yourself look amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was like, I was actually looking into, because I saw that Apple had made their Apple, on the Apple Watch, they made the background like a pride rainbow.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me go and get a little bit of a Google search to see what Apple are like with the people that work for Apple. Mm-hmm. And actually, like, it's, they're really, really good. So they have loads of like unions and stuff for LGBT people and like societies and things within Apple. And I was just like, well, that's great, because they're showing that they're not just, you know, using the rainbow and they're not really doing anything for LGBT people at the same time. So it was like, well done, Apple.
Yeah, well done.
Well
Apple.
Done,
good,
Apple.
Good for them.
Shouting out to brands right now. I don't know what I'm doing.
No, but I could sit here and I could list at least 20, 30, 40 brands that are actually doing, that are inclusive of LGBT plus people and are doing amazing work.
Yeah.
And I do think that 99% of the time, if you have one of these Pride campaigns, whether they're donating money to charity or not, I do think it's LGBT plus people from within that organisation that are pushing it. I don't think, at least I hope it's not, a bunch of straight white men sat around a table going, how can we profit from the queers?
Yes.
I don't think that that is actually happening. I would be very, very sad. But then the pink pound is a thing. You know, LGBT plus people supposedly earn more money. So, you know, we've got money to spend. I don't, but...
I don't either. I definitely don't. Yeah, I wonder who these people are.
Yeah, I'd like to meet them.
You?
I'd like to befriend them. I also want to talk... Okay, more controversy.
Okay.
We love a bit of controversy here. And before I even begin on this, because this is about Stonewall, and I think Stonewall are an amazing charity. I've done loads of work with them over the years. I think they have an amazing team. They have amazing people working there. And I just want to put that out there before I begin. Mm-hmm. Because on the other hand, and there's been so much discussion and so much debate around this, is that Stonewall pulled their support from Pride. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah.
And the reason Stonewall pulled their support from Pride was because they were saying that Pride is not inclusive enough. It's, you know, it's not inclusive enough of people of colour. It's last year there was a real problem with Pride and kind of bi erasure, that there wasn't any floats in the parade that included bisexual people specifically. So Stonewall decided to withdraw their support from Pride. I'm really like, I'm in two worlds. I'm in two minds about how I feel about this, because, you know, I understand the reasons that they've done it, but I don't really support the fact that they actually have gone ahead and done it.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to know what, before I tell you more about what I think.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to hear what you guys think.
I've kind of been on the fence about it, because I was just like, oh, that's a bit shit that they have pulled their support. But then at the same time, you have to think why Stonewall was made in the first place.
Yeah.
So you have to think that, you know, Pride still matters, as the London slogan is.
Yeah.
Because we are still fighting. And if they are going to stand up for the people that are the underrepresented group in the LGBT community, then that's what they should be doing.
Yeah.
Because as a charity, that's what they stand for.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I can see why they are going to support Black Pride.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing that on the Sunday, is it?
Yeah, it does usually happen on the Sunday. It's just that it doesn't usually get the attention or support. So it is great.
Yeah.
And shout out to Stonewall for actually putting their support there, not just completely removing and doing nothing. They're just putting their support there instead. Just to play devil's advocate, this is kind of my opinion as well. My sadness, if anything, with the whole thing is that Stonewall's presence at Pride has always been this amazing spectacle, and I've always loved that. You know, some people are gay, get over it. Some people are trans, get over it. You know, some people are people of color, get over it. Like, I've always loved that. That is something that resonated with me as a 16-year-old boy. It was put on a big, big, huge billboard in my tiny little poxy little hometown in the middle of nowhere. And I saw that as a 16-year-old just coming out.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's what you want to see.
And it was incredible. That literally changed my life. I'm not exaggerating when I say it changed my life. And I think that spectacle at Pride, and I've walked with Stonewall in the parade. I've held one of those placards and waved it up and down and shouted and all the rest of it. I've been a part of that. For that not to be there,
it
breaks my heart. I'm not so much criticizing Stonewall. I'm just saying, I'm really sad that that presence is no longer there. Because, you know, for people standing in the street seeing that, I think it does change lives. And I know that there's loads of other floats and everyone else is, you know, chanting similar messages. Yeah. So maybe it doesn't matter.
I think at this stage now, there's so many other companies that are going to be making those giant billboards and giant signs for like the Pride and stuff, that maybe they're needed
elsewhere
for 16-year-old gay people of colour
yeah.
as well in their hometowns and stuff like that. So I think even though it's shit to think that they're not there anymore, they'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just nice that they're, I think it's quite nice that they're doing this
instead.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when I first saw it, I was like, I was shocked. I was like, well, Stonewall to me are everything when it comes to LGBT rights. It's just like the first thing you think of when you think of LGBT rights, and all the stuff that they've done is incredible. But then when I actually like took a step back from it, and then you just kind of realise that you see why they're doing it, and also the fact that they've done it has caused such a conversation that it's great.
Because
then it's like it's making people wake up and realise, okay, the you know queer black people aren't represented properly, and we don't include them enough, and we need to.
Yeah.
And it's time. And so Stonewall doing that is actually, I think that's they're kind of standing up for what they believe in and what they've always done.
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful perspective to have, and the fact that we're having this conversation right now, the fact that people, even if people are getting angry, people are shouting at Stonewall, they have created a conversation, and that is a really really important thing. And they are going back to their roots of being, you know, this rebellious little charity that has grown, but you know, going back to where they started is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I just wanted to kind of add on this topic, you know, in defense of Pride in London.
Yeah.
I think, you know, every single, I think it's just they have one paid member of staff who like oversees and facilitates everything. Every other person who arranges and organizes Pride in London is a volunteer, giving up their time, and they work tirelessly and they work so, so hard to create this wonderful thing for us. And I know in the past it hasn't been as inclusive as we would like.
Yeah.
But that wasn't, you know, that wasn't from a place of malice. That was maybe from a, you know, it was a mistake, for instance, but people were still working hard to create something wonderful for all of us,
Definitely.
For all the LGBT plus community. And they certainly didn't mean to exclude anyone. So, you know, I don't think there's a bad guy in this.
Yeah.
It's Pride in London are amazing. Stonewall are amazing. And yes, they may be like clashing horns slightly, but they're both trying to achieve the same thing.
Yeah.
And hopefully, I think in the future, they will come together again.
Definitely.
They'll be friends again.
Come on now.
And it will have achieved something better. And we will have a more inclusive little Pride, more inclusive world.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what we want. That's the dream.
That is the dream.
It's the dream.
All right. Shall we have a little bit more music?
Yes.
All right. This is a little bit of Dancing on My Own by Robin.
I'm
McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about Pride in London because it's Pride in London week. That's what we're all looking forward to this weekend. But I really want to drill down a little bit into kind of the smaller prides out there. I know you guys haven't been to that many prides, and that's fine. You
so
seem
useless.
To be deeply ashamed of this, and that's absolutely fine. sorry. I've been very sick the past week, so got a little bit...
Are you feeling
better
now?
Well, almost.
Yeah,
I'm almost
there.
I will be better for Saturday. Even you know, if I'm like dripping with like
you'll be there.
Mucus, I'll be there.
Just
like maybe in a hazmat suit to not make anyone else ill. Just cover myself in glitter. My first pride was in 2006, so 12 years ago. Little 16-year-old me, I went along to Nottingham Pride. Still a fairly big city with quite a big population, but compared to something like London Pride, Manchester Pride, or Brighton Pride, for instance, I think those are the three biggest ones we have in this country. Nottingham Pride was still quite small. Very, very different atmosphere to something like Pride in London. The parade in the streets, for instance, still kind of felt a bit more like a protest.
Yeah.
There were people there protesting, people with anti-gay signs. And again, this was 12 years ago, so things hopefully have come a long way in Nottingham, fingers crossed. But there were still people protesting, quite a lot of people protesting. There was more people supporting it, but maybe a quarter of the people there were actually against it and protesting against it. And it did feel like a celebration, don't get me wrong. There were still people with their tops off, there were still people
fabulous.
Having a drink, throwing glitter around, there was still all of that, but it still had that kind of protesty feel. And I know that in a lot of places around the UK, around Europe, you know, places all over the world, that Pride is still very much a protest. And I think it's important that we kind of reflect on that sometimes, because, you know, we talk a lot about Pride in London, for instance, which is an amazing thing and nobody's debating that, but that's a celebration. I don't really feel like there's, you get a small handful of protesters every year, but I feel like that's full on celebration now, whereas all these other prides are very much a protest.
Yeah, definitely. So I used to live in Cork City, which is still, like, it's quite a small city in Ireland, and that pride is really small, and obviously it's quite a religious place. So there's a lot of there's not a lot of people protesting, but you just feel like it, what you're doing is like kind of like there's not that many people, but everybody does come out to show their support if they're supportive of it. And I think that, you know, when you go to those kind of prides, you know, it's more of a protest of what, like, you're trying to prove something, rather than with London Pride, you feel like it's a huge celebration and you kind of don't even think about people coming out with like protest signs and stuff.
I think for Cork City specifically, it was a very small pride, and then the same-sex marriage vote happened in Ireland, and then that was incredible. So we were living in Ireland at the time
goals.
Of that happening, which was just it was that day when it was a yes vote, it was just the best thing ever. And we went out canvassing for it as well, for the yes vote, and I think the pride after that was huge,
because it was
then like the people that were protesting before have like reached a goal for LGBT rights, a huge goal in Ireland, because obviously it's still such a religious, like, religion is in, you know, the heart of Ireland, and it was such a momentous thing. And
Definitely. Then
everyone coming out in that pride, then it was the celebration,
yes,
and still a bit of a protest, but a big celebration. And it was just lovely to see that Cork Pride had grown a lot from, you know, after the
because you know that vote. People are like kind of backing you more, because all of these people came home to vote.
Yeah.
So you know that, like, people kind of...
People were deliberately coming back to Ireland just to make that vote, and that shows how much they care. And that wasn't just LGBT plus people. That was a lot of allies as well.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was really involved with the whole campaigning around that. Riyad, I don't know if you know Riyad Khalaf. He's a YouTuber as well, but he was really heavily involved. He was in a lot of the TV appearances talking about legalizing same-sex marriage in Ireland. And like you say, it was an enormous celebration. He posted like videos and everything, like celebrating.
That's
and
great.
You could just see the joy in people. And that just kind of spread everywhere. But I think it is also important to remember, like you were saying, that just because that kind of that widespread joy and celebration is there, it doesn't mean that there isn't still homophobia dwindling underneath. So he was celebrating with everyone.
And then because he had been so heavily involved, he returned home to find that people had managed to track down his house and completely destroyed his car, scratched it up, smashed the windows, covered it in paint, completely trashed his car. So, you know, I think sometimes it's easy to forget. You know,
even
here in London, you know, we're all going to be out celebrating this weekend, and it's going to feel like every single person in London supports LGBT plus people. But there'll be people sat at home hating every second of it. And I think it's important to remember that.
And that's why it still matters. And that's why you still have to go, and like, you can't just think that, I don't know, our job is done or whatever, because you still need to go out and show your support and be part of it.
Yeah, like, you know, LGBT plus hate crimes are still happening.
Yeah. Definitely.
In London. They're still happening in London. I remember it wasn't that long ago, maybe 6 months ago. I've forgotten the name of the young gentleman, but he was attacked on the tube and the guys forced him to apologise for being gay just because he was holding his partner's hand on the tube, you know, at rush hour or something. Yeah. Like, there's loads of people around, and that still happened. And I think that, you know, I've seen in Soho even, which is like one of the most, I always feel very, very safe when I'm in Soho. And I once, this was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, saw a drag queen friend of mine have her head smashed into a window in Soho.
Oh, you know,
so we think
it's shocking because I think that's part of the thing that we've all got to remember when we are celebrating in London Pride, is that these things are still happening, and we can't just, you know, gloss over the fact that, like, it's not happening. So it's just kind of like, yes, we've come to like a really good point in London where there's millions of people that are going to come to London Pride and celebrate, but there will be homophobic attacks at the same time, and the amount of them will go up that weekend, like this weekend, and
which is terrifying. It shouldn't scare anyone away.
Not at all. It shouldn't scare anyone away. But
It's still a thing.
It is still a protest. It is still, you know, we've got to normalise it. We've got to normalise it more. And that partly comes down to, you know, things like the Conservatives going into coalition with the DUP is something that is terrible. And then now, you know, the government are saying, oh, yeah, we've raised all these points that we're going to, like, help with LGBT rights and stuff. And it's just like, but Theresa May, you literally signed a coalition with the DUP, who LGBT rights are just like in the bin.
It's the biggest hypocrisy. It's such a hypocrisy, and I can't even get started.
Sorry, that's
a
whole new thing. I'm sorry.
Well, I feel like we've set the world to rights here. I feel like we've done some good here. But you know, as I was saying, Pride is a protest, but it's also a celebration. So we're going to have a bit of fun in the studio.
Okay.
Later on in the show, we're going to be reacting to people's sex confessions. So if you are listening and you want to send in your sex confessions, you can do that anonymously by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. And as it's Pride, you know, come on, give us your absolute worst.
Please
or best,
do.
You know, be proud of your sex confessions. We're also going to be playing a little bit of Porn or Not Porn. But before we do that, let's have a little bit more music. All the back and forth getting complicated. Running me around got me frustrated. No. That's why I've been laying low. If you wanna make it work, baby, gotta say it. Need a little more than participation. Or I could go be on my own. So I'ma kiss you, I'll lay with you. You broke, no, I can't fix you. I won't, no, won't diss you. But babe, yeah, might miss you. If you're cold and needed shelter, I'd hold you, but not switching. No, we're not together, but babe, won't forget ya. What I need, what I need, what I need is for you to be sure, no, no, no. For you to be sure, no, no, no. For you to be sure, no, no, no. What I need, what I need, what I need is to tell me that it shows, no, no, no. And who you do it for, no, no, no. For you to be sure, no, no, no. No, we're not together, but babe,
real loving is sure. The way that I love, there's no taking my place. Staring at you right in your face. No, don't look away no more. I would kiss you, I live with you. You're broke, no, I can't fix you. I won't, no, I won't diss you. But babe, yeah, I might miss you. If you're cold and needed shelter, I'd hold you, but not sweat you. No, we're not together, but babe, I won't forget you.
Alright, it's game time. It is time for everyone's favourite game. This is Porn or Not Porn. And as this is a Pride special, this week's theme is it's all about LGBT plus celebrities. So,
perfect.
I have six clips for you here. Is it six? Yeah, six clips for you here. Some of these are from porn.
Okay.
And some of them are LGBT plus celebrities. I do not know the answers, so we're a team.
Okay, fantastic.
And we together have to try and figure out whether these are porn or not porn, and the lovely producers are going to tell us the answers.
Yay, okay.
Are you game for this?
Yes, so game.
Ready. Okay, here is our first one.
I couldn't possibly tell you here.
Oh, what did they say?
I couldn't possibly tell you here.
Oh.
I couldn't
possibly tell you here.
Oh, I couldn't possibly tell you here.
Sounds a bit raunchy, doesn't it?
It does sound a bit raunchy. Ooh. I don't know, though. I'm thinking like it could be like an interview where, I don't know, maybe they've been put on the spot like during a TV show or something.
Yes.
Like, oh, I couldn't possibly tell you here. Yeah. But I hear a little bit of a almost smirk in their voice.
Yeah.
There's almost there's a little bit of a
sexy smirk.
Yeah,
sounds like the photocopy is going in the background. Always in porn.
Let's hear it again.
I couldn't possibly tell you here.
Oh.
I think LGBT celeb.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't know. I'm no good at this.
Should we go for LGBT celeb?
I don't know. I just feel like it's not sexy enough for me.
Yeah, but this could be the foreplay part.
Oh, maybe it could be the foreplay part. You're so right, Brogan.
Okay. Shall we say, okay, is that our final answer? I'm going to go with you guys.
Oh,
I'm
going to
go with you guys.
Okay.
We'll go with celeb. Start with celeb.
Okay.
I'm sorry for Liz.
We are saying not porn. And the answer is not porn.
Yes!
It's George Michael. Of course it is, because we heard the cheeky little smirk there. George Michael in a 1990s interview discussing his sexual fantasies and who he fantasizes himself with. I couldn't possibly tell you here. That's a conversation for another time. We knew it was a rascal.
And
George was, you know, the rascal of all rascals. We love George. And he was such an icon, and
he was
like the first. I think he was the first like person to put his sexuality out there.
Yeah,
he wasn't like, oh, I'm gay and I'm gonna be apologetic for being gay. He was like, I'm gay, fuck you all, I'm gonna make out with this man.
Yeah,
and like nobody was doing that. So
that's so true.
Shout out to the late George Michael. What an absolute hero. And I'm sure he'd love to be in a game called Porn or Not Porn.
He'd absolutely love it.
He'd be thrilled. All right, the next one is.
But how are you? How's your dating life?
Oh, that has to be porn.
It's got to be porn.
Let's hear that again.
But how are you? How's your dating life?
Oh, she's definitely naked.
I think she's naked. Like casting couch situation.
Yeah, I think you can sound like, you can hear the poor quality of the sound. That's why I'm thinking it's porn.
Could just be a bad interview.
It could just be a bad interview. It could be.
Some, you know, wannabe journalist doing it on their phone.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Just hoping it will sound all right. I think porn.
I'm going for porn.
Porn. Final answer is porn. And the answer is, it is porn.
Yes.
This is from Jealous Mummy. After a phone call with her sister, Jill finds out that her sister had sex with her stepson. Filled with jealousy, she comes on to him. Right.
I can't even work out
after
that relationship. I'm really confused. Like,
there's a lot happening there, isn't there? I can't get my head around that either. But why is it that there's always like the amount of kind of like borderline? I mean, it's not incest if it's a stepson, but there's always this kind of like brother sister stepdad dynamic in porn.
Yeah.
Like, why?
I don't know why it happens, but in work we actually talk about this a lot.
That just naturally
we're always
comes up
talking
in conversation.
About this kind of porn.
But like, it's the question that like, if you could clone yourself, would you have sex with yourself?
Yes.
Yeah. I said yes too, and then everyone was like, "You're weird," and I was like, "No, I'm just."
I would definitely.
You know, it would be interesting.
That would just be like having a wank, but like more intense,
better one.
I would
a much better
absolutely
one.
Have sex with my clone, but that's not the same as a twin. I just want to make that clear because a twin is another separate person who's grown up and has their own personality and identity.
We did have this conversation with Jacob, and he said he was a twin. So he was just like, well, clearly not, because I'm a twin, and it changes the conversation completely.
I think so, if you're a twin, you can't get involved with that conversation.
No,
it just heads into weird territory. I've forgotten what we're doing. Did you get the answer to that or not?
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, we did.
Jealous mummy.
Yeah, jealous mummy.
Right, the next one is
tough enough to take you on.
Oh,
I think this is red herring. I think that this is not porn. That's too obviously porn.
Do you think so? I thought it sounded like J-Lo.
Ooh.
Oh, actually, she's not an LGBT celebrity. That is a real big red herring then.
Let's listen again.
Tough enough to take you on.
That's Kristen Stewart, isn't it? No?
Is it?
Really?
In Twilight.
Not that I'm a huge fan
just
or anything.
Boom. Lesbian radar.
Oh, is it actually?
I think it's Kristen Stewart and it's
Wait,
not
we'll have
porn.
To hear it one more time.
Okay, here we go.
Tough enough to take you on.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. So is.
It?
Oh my god.
I think it might be.
You are like a. You have like.
I'm not.
Incredible lesbian detector ears.
Yes.
That's amazing. And I'm fully with you. We're saying that this is not porn. If it is now, I don't know what to tell you.
If it's J-Lo, you're all good.
It is Kristen Stewart.
Oh my god, yes.
It's in Twilight in Breaking Dawn Part 2, and she's challenging her brother Emmett's strength after she becomes a newborn vampire.
This is really bad, but I actually knew.
Did you
that
notice
it was
that?
That's so sad.
I was so obsessed with it when I was younger.
No, I praise you for it. I was obsessed with it for different reasons. The whole. Oh, what was his name? Jacob.
Jacob, sexy vampire.
Oh, you for Jacob?
No, Jacob the werewolf.
Oh, Jacob the werewolf.
Yeah.
No, I've seen too many pictures of Taylor Lautner being compared to a alpaca. Oh.
Taylor Lautner looks like an alpaca.
Yeah, have you seen
it? Oh, he really does.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, I can see it now.
Yeah, it ruined it for you. I'm so sorry. I've ruined it for me.
Right, I'm gonna ruin your favourite female celebrity by the end of this show. Who is it? Who's your fave?
I'm not telling you.
Oh. All right, the next one is... I mean...
What?
You would think porn.
You would.
You would think porn.
You would.
I think that sounds like someone dying.
Is it Christian?
Yeah, is it her dying in Twilight? Does she die in Twilight? I didn't get that far.
No.
No, she doesn't die.
Oh, wait, no, she becomes a vampire.
Yeah, so maybe it's her, like, teeth in her neck. Though I feel like you would have recognised it instantly.
Yeah. <it's not
her>. Let's hear it again. I mean, I just
don't know what's going on in
it's
this
like,
scene.
I don't know, it could be like a LGBT plus celebrity being like, I don't know, they're on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and they've got like scorpions in their pants or something, you know? Like, it sounds more like pain than pleasure.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I know
it does.
There's a very thin line between the two.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing pain.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm not hearing porn, I don't think.
I mean,
porn?
I kind of am.
I'm hearing porn.
Let's hear it again. I love that you just don't hear porn in that. You're like, no, that's completely above board. That's fine.
That's not my genre.
It's not your genre.
I think it sounds like porn in a bathroom. That's what I'm going for.
Like a shower scene.
Ooh.
Maybe a shower scene. It's a sexy little shower scene.
I just think it's too obvious.
Okay.
Yeah, or they're doing a double bluff.
Yeah.
This is why I hate them. They sit in their little producer box and they laugh at us and they're so smug. Fuck you, producer Hannah and producer Abby. Monsters. What are we saying?
Let's go not porn.
Not porn.
Yeah.
We are saying not porn. Not porn.
Yes.
It's Troye Sivan waxing his legs in a YouTube video with beauty guru Zoella. And I've seen this video because I was like 20 feet away from them doing this. This was at Summer in the City 2013, my first ever Summer in the City. And yes, they were like in the next room doing this.
Oh my God, incredible.
So, yes.
Did let's it sound hear, like that when you were there?
I need to hear this. I mean, I couldn't hear them. Let's hear this again. Yeah, that's little Troye. You can hear his little voice.
That's little Troye and his little voice.
Okay, our last one is...
So when did you discover you had a passion for...
Passion for sex?
Because it could be like a passion for LGBT plus advocacy.
It could
or
be.
Or could be like a passion for pussy, you know, it could be...
passion for pussy. That's my new bio right there.
Both. You can be have a passion for both of those things.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. How many... We've only had one porn, haven't we?
I feel like we're... Yeah, so maybe...
Or maybe that's how they're going to trick us.
Yeah. Do you think this is like a film kind of... like, you know, when they go into like...
We've got two to go. That wasn't the last one.
Oh!
I missed one.
Oh, that changes things.
I think it's porn.
Do you?
Yeah, I think it's like an audition type porn.
Yeah?
Oh, an audition type porn.
Libby, are you in agreement?
I'm in agreement.
Let's hear it one more time.
Okay.
So when did you discover you had a passion?
I think it's porn. Yeah. I think it's porn. Okay, we're saying porn. Come on. Porn!
Yes!
This is Bad Babysitters. A dad is interviewing a young girl as a potential babysitter for his son. However, she thought the ad was a personal ad asking for role play.
Oh, it wasn't passion for pussy.
It was passion for childcare.
That was her.
And again, I feel very uncomfortable. I feel very, very uncomfortable. Well, moving on swiftly. Okay, we're 5 out of 5 so far, guys.
Oh my God.
It's incredible.
You know, it's rare that, you know, we get all of them right.
Yeah.
And as this is a Pride special, I think we should represent, don't you?
Yes.
We know our LGBT plus celebrities.
We do.
And we know our
We know Kristen Stewart from a mile away.
Yeah.
If this last one's a lesbian, we're set.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, final one.
So I suppose we say lights, camera, action.
Ooh, I recognise that voice. And that could be because I recognise it from porn, to be fair.
I mean, it's your top Google
search. I've seen them all. Every video ever made. Ooh, let's have it again.
So I suppose we say lights, camera, action.
Oh, I really recognise that voice.
I mean, if it is porn, like, he doesn't really know what he's doing. He seems very confused by the process.
If he's on the wrong side of the camera as well.
I suppose it's lights, camera, action?
What? Yeah, he doesn't... I don't want to mess this up, guys, but I think this is not porn.
I'm thinking it's not porn.
Because I recognise the voice, and I just don't know who it is. Maybe I don't recognise the voice, but I think I do.
I think we should go with what you think.
No, because I'll mess it up.
No,
I don't want to be responsible.
I can't trust you.
I don't trust me. I get everything wrong. I've just been going with what you guys have been saying. That's why we're winning. Let's listen again.
Okay.
So I suppose we say lights, camera, action.
I feel like I've heard that voice before.
Yeah,
me too.
Famous.
It's somebody. He's British, isn't he? Is that a British voice?
Yeah.
I'm terrible with accents.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it Eddie Redmayne? But he's... No.
He's not LGBT plus, is he? Is he? No.
No, I don't think so.
No, he's not.
No.
Oh. Okay, fine. We're saying it's not porn.
Not porn.
I'm sorry if I'm wrong. Sorry if I'm wrong.
No!
It was porn. Dirty business. 5 students trick their teachers into filming a documentary. However, they are actually performing a striptease and show for them in order to turn them to up their grades. So I've probably seen that, and that's probably why I that's probably why I recognise the voice.
I know this. This is what I was watching last night.
That was one of my favourite rounds of Porn or Not Porn ever. So thank you for joining me
in
that, girls.
Absolutely loved it.
We have a really special segment coming up now. We're going to be joined in the studio with some very, very special guests. We're going to have a very special guest joining us on the phone as well. It's a roundtable discussion around Pride and everything LGBT+. It's going to be really exciting. And yeah, let's do a little bit of that after some... Oh, since we talked about George, let's have a bit of Wham.
Yes.
Baby.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
So, you are listening to the Callum McSwiggan Show, and right now we are joined with a whole group of wonderful LGBT plus people. So we have the lovely Libby and Brogan, who have been here for the whole show with us. We also have the amazing Lewis Oakley, and on the phone we have the incredible Rain Dove. So I think before we start, it would be a really great idea to kind of go around and have everyone kind of talk about who they are and what they do. So, Lewis, would you like to start us off?
So my name's Lewis Oakley. I write a lot of articles and do other kind of media around being a bisexual man, kind of looking at the unique things. I think a lot of the times, which is great, we talk about LGBT as a whole, but I think it's also important to break it down and say, well, what's happening in this one sector? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's going really well.
Amazing. And girls, I know you've been here for the show already,
yes.
But
yeah.
Do you want to give us a quick recap?
You go first, Brogues?
You go for it.
Okay. So my name is Libby Masters, and I have a YouTube channel along with Brogan that is kind of, we have lots of LGBT stuff on there, and we celebrate diversity of all sorts, and we make lots of LGBT content on there, and we're just proud of being part of the LGBT community.
Heroes. Yeah. Absolute heroes. And then on the phone we have the lovely Rain Dove. How are you doing, Rain?
Doing so well. It's July 4th right here in New York City, and
it is happy 4th.
Thank you. I mean, thank you. I don't know if this is a day to be proud of for our nation, but at the same time it is a day to go and sit around a barbecue, which I'm very excited to do. So,
so Rain, tell us a little bit about what you do and how you identify.
Yeah, so my name is Rain Dove. My identity is IMI. Pronoun is just the sound of me, and all I'm listening for in that sound is positivity, so I tell people to use what they like.
Okay.
And most people know me as a model and activist. I wear whatever they put on my body, and I work only with ethical brands that measure a certain level of ethicalness, and I educate people about the fact that diversity is not enough. Just because you see diversity on a billboard doesn't mean that the company is necessarily doing right by all the beings on the planet.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of activism work. I do a lot of comparative studies about the differences that men and women are treated by going into the same exact scenarios, presenting as what society deems to be male and what society deems to be female, and documenting my experience. And it's been a really, really incredible journey. I've been really honored to have a platform given to me by the LGBT community and everybody else that follows my work.
Incredible. Well, it's amazing to have you here. And I really want to start off this discussion with something you were saying there about diversity. So I think, and myself and Libby and Brogan did just talk a little bit about this. I think when it comes to Pride, you know, it's interesting me being sitting here, almost kind of hosting this. I feel like gay men often have an awful lot of privilege, specifically white gay men, specifically white cisgender gay men. And I think Pride often, so many people out there call it gay pride. You know, that is a common thing that we all say. And I know some people say, oh, the gay actually stands for LGBT plus. But just the fact that we call it gay pride when it's not, it's LGBT plus pride. And I feel like diversity is so, so important. And I think it's something that we're not quite getting across. So, Lewis, I would love to start this off with you. As a bisexual yourself, I feel like there is a great deal of kind of bi erasure. And there was kind of controversy last year around Pride because there were no specific kind of parades or anything like any specific floats or anything like that specifically dedicated to bisexual people, and bi visibility is so important. So I'm really interested to hear what you think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of it did feel last year when there were no bi-specific groups marching. Like, we did some media around it, brought attention to it. And I think that they have tried to bridge it a bit this year. They've been quite good being in contact with me. We hosted a Bi Boys Night Out in the pop-up store a few weeks ago. And that went quite well. So I think it's one of those things where I always like to think their intentions are always good, but there is so much more we can do. I mean, especially with bisexual men. Only 12% of bisexual men are actually out of the closet.
Wow.
And I was doing a video interview for a channel the other day, and I was sat with another bi guy, and he was like, I've never been to Pride, and he felt bad about it. And I was like, well, do you think it was advertised for you? And he was like, no. So it's one of those things. I wrote an article recently as well about lay off the straight bashing as well.
Sure.
Because my girlfriend's straight.
Yeah.
She has just as much right to be at Pride as anyone else.
Absolutely.
And especially, you know, it's not actually easy for her sometimes because she gets a lot of abuse thrown at her from the LGBT community as well.
Yeah.
The amount of gay men that have told my girlfriend that I'm going to leave her is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, looking at bisexual stuff and trying to be inclusive of it, there is still a long, long way to go.
Yeah. I think it was really important what you were saying about, like, kind of lay off the straight bashing, because, you know, that applies to a lot of trans people out there as well. Mm-hmm. I have a very good friend who is a transgender man, but he's straight and he's dating a girl, and she is so involved in kind of LGBT plus advocacy because she is part of our community. Being in a relationship with a trans man makes her part of our community. Yeah. And I think it can be, you know, I'm even guilty of it sometimes. Sometimes I make straight people jokes on Twitter, and, you know, it's not, you know, I'm not, it, I know it's a controversial one, you know, but I, you know, hearing you say that just now, Lewis, makes me think you raise a really, really good point. And, you know, being inclusive of everyone, including straight people sometimes, because they can be a part of our community, is really, really important. Girls, I'm really interested to know how you feel, again, because as lesbian women, I feel like often there aren't many spaces opened up to you. So as a gay man, I know that I can go out and, you know, I feel like so much of it revolves around kind of drinking and clubs and things like that. But there are so many gay bars and spaces and for me to go to. And for you guys, it isn't the same at all. So how do you feel that there almost aren't the spaces for you to go and socialise and meet other lesbian women?
I'm actually bisexual as well.
Oh, you are? Yeah. See, and this isn't...
We're surrounding you.
It makes a really good point that I just assumed that you guys were lesbians. It didn't occur to me that you were bisexual. And I think, again, that kind of plays into the whole, like, bi erasure that's not intentional sometimes.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, I actually find that a lot of people assume that because, like, Libby, you're a lesbian, and we're a couple, people assume that we're both lesbians.
Yeah.
But it's never going to always be the case at all. But yeah, there's not many bisexual bars, especially like,
are there any bisexual bars?
I've never ever been to one, actually.
Is that a thing?
I've never been to one. I think, yeah, it's very hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's sad, actually. It was actually a conversation I was having with Rowan the other day, fantastic YouTuber, and she was saying how there's no lesbian bars in London. There used to be loads, and now there's kind of like, well, there used to be a couple, but now there's just She Bar, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
Which we've been to once, and it's just like we kind of just get like this small space.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like loads of bars for gay guys, and when you go into these bars, it's mostly gay guys.
Yeah.
And it is a bit sad, but it's also at the same time we should all be able to have like a bar that we can all go to.
Yeah.
If you're LGBT plus or whatever, it should just be or straight. Like let's include everyone, and that's the same for Pride as well. Like straight people should be coming to Pride because we need allies.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we are quite a small group. But when we have the allies as well, we are so much more powerful.
Yeah.
I think that thing about a bar is so important as well, though, because I kind of like put it like this. Like, imagine if I was 18, realizing I was gay and coming out. You can go to a gay bar and there are gay men there from all different walks of life, you know. And you can go there and you can talk and you've got that experience. They say, oh, well, that. So when stuff happens to me that I'm kind of like, oh, this is a real bisexual problem. It's too bad I like have no bisexual people to talk to about it. And I think it's actually a quite isolating sexuality sometimes just because there aren't that many people out and there are no real things to bring us together. And you can't really underestimate what it's like to have someone that's actually had the same experience of you being like, oh, no, I did this. It's like, oh, well, I wouldn't. But actually, it's good to know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
Absolutely. And Rain, how do you feel? Because I think sometimes people who kind of identify outside of the traditional LGBT acronym, as it were.
I think, you know, for my identity, you know, I identify as I and I fuck who I want to fuck, and I love who I want to love, and I lust who I want to lust, you know. And, you know, Pride is a very interesting time. It's a really interesting time of the year. It's a hypersexualized event. There are a lot of individuals who are asexual, and
Absolutely.
So, you know, they are part of the community as well, and they go, and they're like, you know, Pride's just as much about the right to not fuck somebody as it is the right to fuck somebody or love somebody.
Totally.
And I think that
we are headed toward a rebranding of the whole entire event. I think we're headed toward the transitional period in which we'll always acknowledge the history of why we need to defend the right or celebrate the right to love who you want to love, because that right hasn't always been available for everyone. But I believe that we are headed towards a rebranding of this is a free love event, free love who you want to love event, and that's inclusive of all people, whether you're straight or whether you're queer or whether you're anywhere on the spectrum. It's more like we want to celebrate the fact that you have the right to consensual love and lust.
I love
and
that.
And I think...
continue.
And it's all about PR, really. It comes down to that. And I just do want to comment on the bar thing. There is an erasure of queer-specific spaces, especially lesbian bars, and that really tells you a lot about the economic disparity that happens within the groups, because the culture is changing and people are realizing that, especially in the lesbian community, the idea of backyard barbecues, doing events at homes and on rooftops, it costs a lot less money. And on top of that, it creates a safer space in which they don't have to be subjected to the male gaze. And that's just been a thing that's happened a lot in the young culture of like the 20s to 30-year-old lesbian community. And so their investment in lesbian bars has been a lot less, just because they don't have the money to spend on drinks going out as much, and they don't necessarily feel safe, being lesbians and out in the open. It's a really interesting thing. At least that's the sentiment in the United States when I did a study on it. It's really fascinating.
What do you think about that, Libby? I don't know if things are different in America compared to how they are here.
No, I think I completely agree with what you're saying, to be honest. It is the same here.
Yeah.
So I think, and it is that disparity. I've never actually thought of it in that way, and it's really interesting to hear it said in that way, that like the money isn't there, and then the male gaze is kind of in these bars, and it's just like, well, yeah, we prefer to have these communities online and then meet at someone's house, and like that would be a nicer, safer space. And so, yeah, I can see why, because I've personally been to lesbian bars before and felt a bit threatened by the lesbians that were in these bars, and I didn't feel, I don't know whether I didn't feel comfort or it was just, maybe it was just something I maybe prefer like the barbecue setup. But what do you think, Rogues?
Yeah, I think I kind of feel the same. I think having the groups online to meet and have these lovely like parties together where you know that everybody going there has the same feeling, I think that's just a nice, safe space, and I kind of agree.
Would you argue that this is as much a kind of feminist issue as much as it is an LGBT plus issue? You know, it seems to be a lot about like male domination and female or non-binary people taking back their own space and pride, it should be something for all of us, and yet somehow it seems to be very male dominated.
Well, we have to look at where the money is. I mean, you have to look at the socioeconomics that have trickled down through time, and the money in the communities. What we're looking at is a community that has significantly higher numbers of sponsors and big sponsors, liquor sponsors and sexual product sponsors that can fund for them to have a larger space, bigger float, a louder voice during Pride. And the reason they are willing to sponsor more gay male type, events and floats and voices is because they know that throughout time, it really comes down to sexism, whereas they know that at the end of the day, out of all these people who we're going to invest in, who's going to invest back in us? Men, because we know that those men have money to spend on us, whereas there's no, for them, there's not really a lot of proof or evidence that women or people who identify outside of the spectrum have access to the same levels of employment that men do. So they're like, why throw our money at people who can't throw just as much back? It just comes down to simple socioeconomics and the intersectionality of it not just being about your sexual identity, but your birth certificate and your employability.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lewis, how do you feel about this? Because I think you're in a very unique position where you experience biphobia from both straight people but also from within the LGBT plus community. I think often that the LGBT plus community can be even worse for biphobia.
Statistically, it is.
Is it? Oh.
Yeah. They did a couple of reports on it, and they found that, yeah, it's actually more toxic in LGBT spaces than straight places. I don't really know. I think there's a lot of toxic attitudes in the LGBT. But what I've always said is that I don't think it's the same as a phobia.
Yeah.
So obviously we talk a lot about, homophobia. That is people, I do not like you because you're gay. I think it's more by ignorance. Because I wouldn't really... I wouldn't really say that people have held me against a wall with a religious text like, I was warned about you.
Yeah.
It's more they'll say things not thinking about it. And I can kind of like forgive it if I can then explain, actually, no, this is what it is. It's more for me when it's stuff said to my girlfriend where I'm like, what? Who goes up to a she was in a gay bar before and got surrounded by three gay guys, and it came up that she was dating a bisexual guy. And they said, oh, you know what? That's really bad. Like, you're straight. You could have, like, any straight men you wanted. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's so few men in the world that are attracted to other men. Like, he should be with a guy. Like, it's just, what are you talking about? Like,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So I think we just need to change attitudes. We need to profile more bi people. You know, one of the things that I'm always asking is, am I actually any good as a bisexual activist, or is it just like the only, like, well, not the only, but one of the few male
people
bisexual activists
it, yeah.
talking about it in London? And I don't know. I hope I'm good.
No, I think you're great. I think you're brilliant. Some really, really important points there, Lewis. I also kind of want to talk about the fact that, you know, the theme of Pride this year is Pride Matters. And I think that's something that we can, at least hopefully, I think that's something that we can all agree on. And I would love to know kind of individually and personally what Pride matters to you guys. So no pressure, Brogan, but I'm looking to you.
I think for me, it's probably being able to just feel like I'm being true to myself. And being, because a few years ago I don't think I was like totally happy with who I was, and now, especially while I'm like here in London, I feel like I've kind of come to terms with who I am and I'm happy.
Yeah.
And to me, pride matters because I want other people to get to that stage as well. I think that's why it's so important.
That's wonderful. How about you, Rain?
Like, what does pride mean to me?
Yeah.
Sorry, your voice had cut out earlier when you were in the middle of saying it.
Oh,
I was
sorry.
Like, oh no, I hope they don't swing the question to me. You know, I think pride is an opportunity just for everyone to come together, and for me, it's just a reassurance that we can be out in the open, and be ourselves collectively, no matter who we are. It's such a beautiful thing. I have the privilege of being able to be in the parade, on a float, and see all these people, like, reaching across the rails, reaching for each other, arms around their shoulders. It's really a beautiful sight, and it's interesting. May I comment on something when it comes to the bisexuality element and bi-visibility?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
You know, we're in a really interesting time where the new generation is changing the language of this community so much. And there's a huge gap. There's a lot of ageism, especially in this community, like as far as the language that we use. And in the United States, actually, the term bisexual is deemed to be outdated, or it's deemed to be non-inclusive of non-binary individuals who don't recognize, who don't believe in a binary space. And it was really interesting. There was a bisexual float this year, and they were getting booed so hard.
Gosh.
It's awful.
By like various communities, especially young communities, who thought there was a gap in knowledge as to the definition of what bisexual meant, and a lot of people actually saw that as exclusive, you know.
Yeah.
And it was Pride is such an interesting thing because for me it represents people coming together in this inspirational way, and it's something that's so important. But I also see it as like, I can't explain it. You see the capitalism, you see the people who just are trying to make money off of our communities, like coming in and throwing things that we don't, products in our face that we don't need, trying to get the limited amount of money that we get as our communities out of our wallets and into their hands.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm very conflicted about Pride. I think it's such a necessary event, and it inspires me every year that I go to it. But it also has increasingly really worried me, because I feel like we need to close this generational gap of language. I can't, you know what I mean?
I'm
trying to articulate it in the best way.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, what you were saying there about, you know, people trying to capitalize on Pride is something that we discussed earlier in the show, and we were absolutely saying exactly what you were just saying there, is that, you know, there are a lot of people trying to capitalize on the pink pound and you know, making rainbow merchandise or whatever it is to try and kind of capitalize on that, and that's so wrong. And yet at the same time, there are brands out there who are saying, you know what, we actually do want to support the LGBT plus communities.
Yeah.
And you know, we want to, you know, proceeds from our sales are going to go towards charity. So I think there's a bit of both, and I think anybody who is supporting Pride needs to kind of make sure that they're doing it for the right reasons. And then everything you were saying about, you know, Pride being inclusive, I think language and everything else is changing. It is constantly fluctuating. But I think it's important that we all kind of agree upon the fact that all LGBT plus people should feel welcome and safe at Pride. I think every single year in London Pride, you know, regardless of your political beliefs, the Conservative Party, LGBT plus Conservatives, march every single year. And I am not a Tory myself in any stretch of the imagination, but I do believe that they have the right to march and they have the right to be there, and they get booed every
and
single
are
year.
LGBTQ plus individuals, you know.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So I think it's important that we allow everybody to feel safe in that space. We are one community, so whether, you know, if you agree or disagree with the term bisexuality, I don't think it's fair to boot people who identify that way, as you do, Lewis.
And people should be allowed to identify themselves however they want to.
Absolutely.
And they should not be criminalized for their own self-evolution, especially when it comes to love and personal definition. There's just no way, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But it is difficult, and like I wish we had more of a community dialogue about how to go forward without language policing, how to go forward without identity policing, how to go forward without this oppression Olympics kind of thing of like, no, lesbians are more oppressed. No, trans women are more oppressed. No,
it's not a competition. It's not a pissing contest.
It's not a competition, and that's the problem, is that the capitalistic element of Pride, bringing money into the community, which is great, has also created a lot of competition for those dollars and for that visibility and that sympathy. When at one point we did Pride because it was us coming together, now it's like us fighting for money, us fighting for dollars, us fighting for sympathy. I just feel like it's an inspirational event, but if we're not careful, we're on the brink of civil war.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Lewis, do you have anything to add on the bisexuality?
In which part? Of
About kind of people saying that bisexuality is not an inclusive term.
We need a whole show. it's actually something I'm going to write, and I've kind of like in my notes, I've got a couple of paragraphs of it written.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does come down to the identity and how people want to self-identify, and does it matter? Does it kind of matter? I'm not really sure, because every time we talk about... So basically, you know, what bisexual meant a couple of decades ago, people don't really stick to that anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get not too into it, but just enough into it. Basically, what I kind of think is like, look, we need to at least make it good for the sexual health research. So if you are having sex with men and women, we need to make sure that you're included in the sexual health research. That's really my main... Like, I don't really care how you identify, what words you use, but when it comes to us actually monitoring what's going on in the world, who's dealing with mental health issues, what are they, then we kind of need to get people into relatively some categories to look at it. Because a lot of people say to me, well, do labels matter? And I'm like, well, they kind of do. Because if we don't have labels, we can't monitor what's going on. If we can't monitor it, we can't improve it.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of my take on the labels. And I get told off all the time. People will be like, you've used this one, it should be this one. It's like, oh, shut up. Like, I'm trying to help.
You're trying to do good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Libby, I want to take it back to the Pride Matters discussion. So could you tell us a little bit about why Pride matters to you?
I think it all comes back to acceptance and being able to love who you want to love, no matter who that is. And I think Pride matters mostly because it matters for all of those teenagers or children, whoever you are, that are questioning their sexuality, their gender, and they're feeling alone.
Yeah.
And then they can see Pride, and they can see that there is a whole lovely rainbow of people that are celebrating who they are and who they love,
mm-hmm.
and just to know they're not alone, and it's going to be okay, and it might be difficult now, but it 100% does get better, and I think that's one of the main reasons why it matters.
That's lovely. And you, Lewis?
Well, Pride for me is kind of a little anniversary of the first time I embraced my bisexuality. It was the summer of 2000.
He's getting misty-eyed.
And there was this beautiful man. And I don't know about other people, but a lot of bisexual people tell me they come into their bisexuality quite late. Like, I was 19.
Yeah.
I've met this guy a few nights before Pride, and we changed numbers, and I said, no, I'm straight. And then we ran into each other on Pride and had a little kiss, and I was like, oh. And then he was like, come home with me. And I was like, no, I can't, I'm straight. And then I remember it was the 29 bus. We were going to Madrid. I was with my friend, and we were literally cramped. And someone had been smoking weed, and it stank. And I was just like, why am I not going home with that man? I'm so attracted to him. What, because I'm straight? Like, where am I going right now? Where? So I literally said to my friend, bye, which turned out to be a really good word. Pressed the button, got off at the next stop, and went and found that beautiful man, and never looked back. So I'm actually quite excited. I wasn't going to get to go this year. My son, who I think hates Pride, because every year there's an excuse why I can't go. So this year he was scheduled for an operation, but it just got cancelled, so I can go now.
So you can go.
Amazing. And last year at Pride, I literally was like, ready to march, full bi gear on, and we've been waiting for ages to start moving. Finally we started moving, and then I get like my phone rings, and it's my girlfriend. She's like, Jamie's broken his arm. And I was like, what? I said, oh my god. And I was like, well, where do I go? And she's like, I don't know, we've got to wait to see what hospital. So I actually did get to march, but then I had to show up at the hospital in full on Pride gear. So I was like in a leather jacket, biker jeans, and a big t-shirt that said bisexual on it.
Amazing.
And,
guess what, I was sat on a radiator, like we were all crowded around Jamie, and the nurse came in, and she was like, oh, who is everyone? And so my girlfriend was like, well, this is dad, and this, and I'm mom, and this is stepdad. And obviously I got this big bisexual t-shirt on, and I was just like, she's so thinking, which one are you fucking? How inappropriate.
That is incredible. So, yeah. That sounds like the best Pride experience ever. Yeah. It's in its own way. That is getting
interesting.
Them. Yeah.
But I've got the VIP wristband this year, so I can't wait to see what that gets me into. Wow. What am I going to get into?
It gets you into a little tent. With drinks you have to pay for. Hooray!
Oh, no!
No, it'll be good. It'll be great. I'm just going to finish this off by saying what Pride matters, what Pride means to me, and why it matters for me. And that's just it. I feel like it brings people from right across the LGBT plus community together. I feel like a lot of the time, gay men hang out with gay men. Bisexual people, like you were saying, Lewis, often struggle to find other bisexual people. You know, lesbians often stick with lesbians. Trans people often stick with trans people. And I think it's just a wonderful opportunity for us all to come together and for us all to celebrate together, celebrate how far we've come together, but also to continue to fight and continue to protest for things that honestly benefit all of us. And I honestly think Pride also benefits straight cisgender people as well. You know, it's making the world a more inclusive place for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Pride matters to me. I can't thank all of you enough for being here today. Rain, all the way from America, you're an absolute superstar.
I crossed an ocean with my voice.
You're all wonderful. Thank you for joining us here in the studio, Lewis, as
thank
well.
Thank you.
We're going to finish this off now with a little bit of, and I can't think of anybody better to play right now. This is a little bit of Queen. Thank you all for being here.
Don't you know you're queen?
FUBAR Radio presents Access
All Areas. The very handsome Jordan Charles. You have a kind of a unique perspective on modelling as you are albino.
Yeah, that's
is
true.
Is that okay to say? I mean, I don't, you know.
Some people see it as derogatory. I'm fine with it personally.
Okay,
I'm fine
cool.
With it. I hate the fact that these things are being used as trends. The freckles, like I've seen lot of models with the freckles last year. And then like, it's about a little bit. I mean, they're still using a couple, but they're using it like a trend when this is actually how we live our life. You understand? Like, we're like this all the time. Embrace it,
getting
right? Embrace
it. Yeah, well, Topshop actually sells special pencils, right, that you can draw freckles on with.
What do we do? Do we have it? Do we don't?
Like, you know? Yeah, like, what's in? What's not? Yeah.
Every Thursday, Access All Areas from 6 p.m. FUBAR Radio.
That was an amazing little discussion, wasn't it, girls?
It was so good.
It was so amazing. Shout out again to Lewis Oakley and Rain Dove for joining us. Do go check out their work. They're amazing activists, the both of them. And yeah, I'm really grateful to have them on the show. I feel like we got very serious there.
We got really serious.
Which is great. Yeah. You know, that's what Pride is all about.
Yes.
But I think it's a bit about time we had a bit of fun, don't you?
I think
so. So we're going to be doing sex confessions now. Thank you so much to everyone who sent in their confession. The gorgeous Libby and Brogan and I are going to be reacting to those now. Brogan, would you like to read the first one?
Okay.
Right. Deep breaths.
Okay. The first time I had sex with my current partner, we decided to spice things up with some edible lube. It tasted so disgusting, and now every time I smell salted caramel, I want to throw up.
I want some salted caramel lube. That sounds incredible.
I love salted caramel.
I love salted caramel.
Wait, why was it disgusting, I wonder?
I think sometimes, like, lube can have quite an interesting flavour sometimes, and I think if a flavoured lube isn't made properly, I've had some flavoured lubes where they've tasted kind of, like, really, really gross before.
Yeah.
I think as well, like, when you get a flavoured lube, I don't know if you guys ever experiment, but I have in the past, I would always, like, try it before a sexual encounter.
Oh, yeah, you've got to try it before you go.
Like, you
go
can't just dive in with, let's try water. Watermelon and pineapple lube like halfway through sex. That's just going to end badly.
Yeah.
You know, always test it out before, and then if it's gross, then don't bring it into the bedroom with you.
Yeah, what I've noticed is I think they always have a kind of menthol, like, aftertaste.
Yes,
to them,
they do.
And it ruins it for me because I'm like, am I
brushing my teeth?
What's happening right now?
On the other side of this spectrum, I once had it was Durex's Pina Colada lube.
Oh my god, that sounds so good.
It was like 2009, and me and my partner at the time, we got a bit of that, and it was like on offer. We brought it home with us, and oh my god, it tasted so good.
Really?
Like, I'm
did
almost,
you just like sit there watching TV?
No, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but one time we just put it on ice cream. We weren't having sex.
God.
We just put it on the ice cream and ate the ice cream, sat in our pants.
Is there picture evidence of this?
There is. I mean, it was 2009. We didn't have iPhones then.
That's true. Sad times. I would love to have seen that.
Sad times. So our lovely person with the salted caramel lube, I feel for you. But, you know, get on that Durex Pina Colada if it still exists, because... It's a good one.
Apparently it's super tasty.
It's a good one. All right, our next one. Libby, I'm throwing this one over to you.
Okay. So my partner and I decided to join the Mile High Club.
Yes.
Nice one. Apparently we weren't very subtle because the flight attendant gave us death stares for the rest of the flight. It was a long haul.
Ooh.
Ooh, now, Callum. I want to know. Are you part of this club?
I'm not part
not?
Of this club. I really, really, really want to be.
Oh, my God, me too.
Yeah, I want to too.
No, you're such a liar.
Are you part of it already?
No,
my God.
No, I'm not part of it.
Liar.
Brogan thinks I wouldn't do that.
Maybe
but on a long haul
like,
flight, you're fine. On a Ryanair situation, you're not.
You get weird about doing anything that's in, like, not in the bedroom.
Do you want to know a little secret that may help you in the future?
Okay.
On a lot of big planes on long haul flights, like the Virgin ones, for instance, like if you're flying like cross Atlantic going to America, they have bathrooms that actually connect. There's actually a latch on the inside of the bathrooms. If you both turn the latch, you can actually collapse the wall
So this changes it opens everything. Out.
And it's not for people to have sex. I think it might be for
just to be clear, this is not what I'm for.
I think it might be actually for like disabled access or something, yeah. Or security. I'm not sure what they're for, but you can actually collapse the wall in between. So
how do you know this? If yes, you haven't done it?
A flight attendant once told me. I've not done it. I really want to, but it's a great way because you can both go into separate bathrooms. Open up that dividing wall, do your thing, close up the wall, leave, and nobody knows. No flight attendants are going to give you dirty looks. That's how it's done. That's how it's done.
Libby doesn't like doing anything stood up.
So. Oh, I'm a bit lazy.
Get on the floor.
I'm a pillow princess.
Apparently this is a thing amongst a lot of lesbian women. Is this true or is this just a really negative stereotype?
I'm just thinking like, oh, this. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. It's just like standing up. We're getting very, very, very naughty now. But it's like standing up, I can't like get to that good point. It's too hard.
I know what you mean.
It's like sometimes it's just like, oh, it's going to take too long.
But look,
got things
listen.
To do. Got dinner in the oven.
Listen, if you're on a long haul flight, they give you complimentary blankets and pillows, right?
Yeah.
Just bring one of those into the bathroom with you.
Yes.
Collapse down that wall. Fold out your blanket on the floor. Chuck a couple pillows down.
Yeah. It's a comfy experience.
Yeah. You could do an L word on it. Both sit on the toilet.
Yeah.
Not that I'm into that, but you know, you could.
Well. That would work.
Yeah, that would work.
See,
you could totally do that.
There's loads of ways. Like, you know, you don't have to stand up. Sit in the sink.
Sit in the sink.
Turn the tap on for extra fun.
Yeah. Why not? Get involved. Get mad. You're joining the Mile High Club. You've got to have fun with it.
I'm going to do it.
Okay, I'm going to read the next one. I started a new job last week and got a bit drunk at the Friday night work drinks. Ended up going home with a co-worker. It was fun, but I'm not interested. But he keeps asking me out. I don't want to offend him, but it's so overwhelming having him being so keen. Oh, it's tricky that I had a rule when I was working in an office job, and that was don't be friends with anyone. And I know that is like heartless, but I'm just like, I've got enough friends, I've got enough people to have sex with, I've got enough pals to hang out with.
Yeah.
I don't need to socialise with my colleagues, because when you socialise with your colleagues, next minute, bathroom blowjobs, and then you can't look at each other across the office.
I love that it escalated so quickly there. You make friends with them, then you're having a blowjob in the bathroom, and then you've ruined it. It happens.
So I think you've made your bed, now lie in it.
Yeah.
No, I don't. That's mean. I think stuff happens, and I think the awkwardness will go away with time.
Definitely.
Yeah, just avoid like tea making for a while.
Just don't make any tea. Just sit at your desk and do your job.
Yeah.
Get other people to make you tea.
Yeah.
They'll empathise.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with that one. we've got some more. Let's go. I was going to play some music, but no, let's go right through. Brogan, you're going to read this next one.
I'm going to my first Pride this weekend in London, and I'm so excited to celebrate. If I see you there, can I give you a massive hug?
Oh,
that's really lovely.
I was expecting something dirty, but that's
amazing. I don't know who that's directed to, but I presume it's all three of us.
I'm going to say it's all three.
Yeah. So, I am always in such a good mood when I'm at Pride.
Yeah.
And I just want to love and hug everyone. And that's what I love about Pride as well. Like, I feel like it's one of the only places where you get complete strangers just like hugging each other and like arms around.
Everyone loves everyone.
And just like, yes, if you see any of us, please come and say hi. Please come and hug. Please come and do all the things, because...
Callum wants a bathroom blowjob. If you're into that.
If you're available for a bathroom blowjob. That is a problem with Pride though. Not enough bathrooms.
This is my fear, right?
Yeah.
So when you're marching, can you leave to go to the bathroom?
There are points along the parade where you can get in and out.
Okay.
And they're also, because it's the points where they stop it so people can get across the road. So they do like a traffic light system, like about four or five places along the whole route. Because the whole thing takes about 2 hours.
It's a long thing. I have a terrible bladder.
So you can jump out, but getting back in with your group can be really tricky.
Okay.
So like pee as much as you can. And then just hope for the best before
you're just
going
to have to do a Paula Radcliffe on the side of the road.
I feel like it's one of those things, because you get so, I get so involved with dancing and like just like throwing my arms around and shouting and screaming and all of that, that like if I needed to pee, I've forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, our body sometimes is like, okay, we don't need to pee, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I think
you'll be
okay.
I'm hoping I'm going to get to that point, so it's all
you'll be okay.
I'll be fine.
I forgot what the... Oh, yeah, the hugging person. Yes, all the hugs.
Yes,
please.
All the hugs.
Libby, next one is for you.
Oh, my God, I love it already. Right. My girlfriend once said her cat's name during sex.
Wow.
The look on her face when she realised was priceless, and we laughed so much. Typical lesbian.
I know, typical Wait, lesbian. Why is that typical lesbian?
Typical lesbian.
Classic lesbians. Wow. I don't understand why that's... Is it because lesbians stereotypically love cats?
Stereotypically, yes. And I can understand...
They?
Yeah. I can understand why this anonymous person is part of that, the cat club.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it a cat club. I personally am a dog person.
I'm a dog person.
I'm a dog person.
But I'm not a lesbian, so my voice doesn't matter in this conversation.
Confusing everything.
Throwing spanner in the works.
Do you think it's strange having the cat's name during sex, or is it just loving?
I think it depends on the name of the cat. Like, if you're like, oh, Whiskers, then I think, you know, that's a bit strange. But if your cat's name is like Beth the cat.
Yeah.
And you accidentally say,
"The weirdest cat name." Come on, Beth.
I think Beth's a nice name for a cat.
No, it's cute.
Little black cute. Cat with like nice little white mitten gloves. Beth.
Oh yes,
Beth little the cat.
Beth. Bethy, pussy cat.
Full name.
Okay, that's enough about pussy. Way.
Way.
Okay, next one. I'm gonna read this one. Hubby thought my lipstick vibrator was a butt plug. Took us a long time to get it out. Gosh, okay, ooh. Right. I just need to get my safety brain on here, right? You just need to be very careful, particularly with the anal cavity and putting things up there. So your ass can contract quite heavily, and that means it can suck things up inside it. The vagina can also do this, but it's a lot more dangerous with the ass. So a lot of people think you can just get a vaginal dildo, for instance, and use it as an ass toy. And you absolutely shouldn't do that, because ass toys specifically have a base to stop them getting sucked up inside. So if you ever see like a dildo with massive balls on it, those balls aren't just for decoration, they're to stop it getting sucked up inside.
They actually have
a purpose. Yeah, so that's the difference between the two. A dildo or vibrator or whatever it is that's intended for insertion into the anus will always have a kind of base. So with something like a lipstick vibrator, and obviously it sounds like... This sounds all very tongue-in-cheek. They sound like they had fun with it and it was lols. But I just want to say for anyone listening, just be very, very careful inserting anything that doesn't have a base, because it could get sucked up inside and then you'd have to go to hospital, and it's just not a fun experience for anyone involved.
Yeah. Wow.
So bit of education.
I wonder if they had to go to hospital, they were just taking their time to find it.
They like took us a long time to get it out.
Time.
Like I think this was Bantz. I don't think there was any kind of trauma. At least I hope not. I really hope this wasn't a traumatic experience for either of you.
Yes.
Brogan, next one is for you.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm like, here, read this, and then I scroll away.
Having dinner with my girl, she said, "Daddy, pass the salt." And her dad and I both reached for it. Oh, that's weird.
I feel like I shouldn't. I'm not. I was going to tell a
please
little story.
Tell a story, please.
Okay, a person I know. Their dad actually sent them a message saying, "Hey, I'm seeing you referring to a lot of guys online as daddy, and I don't like it because I'm your dad, and that's what you called me when you were growing up."
Oh, that would be a weird text to receive from your dad.
Yeah, so I can only imagine how that felt for that person.
Yeah, my dad actually once sent me an accidental dick pic.
What?
Wait. Nothing to do with it.
Wait, what?
You need to explain that so much better.
It wasn't his.
Right.
It wasn't his.
That makes it so much better. Jesus Christ. Right, okay, so, but is your dad gay?
No,
Why did your dad have dick pics that don't...
He told me that my uncle sent it to him, which makes it even more weird.
It's just got worse.
We haven't spoken about it in person because it's too awkward.
I hope he's listening.
I hope he's not.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So you don't know who this penis belongs to.
I think it might have been like a porn pic.
Okay. Maybe.
It was like, wasn't it like a, it was like a Facebook video. So it was like a joke thing. So it looked like when you open up the video, someone was calling you. But it was just like a massive, massive knob.
Massive.
But he said, didn't he say like he just didn't have his glasses on? Thought it was funny because it looked like, oh, someone's calling you. Didn't really look at the picture properly. And then sent it to Brogan. And then Brogan was just like...
I opened it on the bus as well.
It was just like her phone was ringing. His massive knob was there. Brogan was like, trying to
catch up. You're like, don't worry, it's just my dad. It's just my dad.
Just sending me
don't
a promise.
Don't worry. It's fine. Wow, well, yeah. we've won, haven't you? Yeah. You've won sex confessions. It's not
Have
usually
I won?
A competition, but you've won.
She's a winner.
I forgot what the confession even was. Oh, daddy passed the salt. I feel like I stopped calling my dad daddy when I was maybe 10.
Yeah.
Like, daddy is if I am going to use that word, it's...
Sexual.
It's going to be in a sexual context, usually.
Yeah.
So if I was at the dinner table, why would I be saying daddy anyway, you know?
Yeah. Like, I think it however I hear it, I always hear it in a sexual way.
Daddy.
Because even hey, if I hear daddy. A child saying it, I'm like, still
yes.
not sure.
It's we've ruined it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've essentially ruined the term daddy for yeah. everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Classic gays ruining everything.
Oh, the gays.
We're down to one last one. So, Libby, you can have this one. It's my treat to you. It's my gift.
I thought I was straight until I saw Rihanna dancing. Fair enough. I still don't fancy anyone else, but Rihanna really does get me going. Forever confused.
So, presumably, this is a girl and they're only attracted to men usually.
Yes.
But then they see Rihanna and juices start flowing.
I think fair enough.
She's beautiful.
She's a beautiful yeah. woman.
Beautiful woman.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say I would ever want to get with a woman, but if I was to, I think Rihanna would be up there as one of my top choices.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you too, obviously.
Thanks.
You too, and
I
Rihanna.
I was waiting for it. I was like, come on, Callum.
Maybe one of these days. We'll see. Thank you so much to everyone who sent in their sex confessions today. You're all superstars. And these are some of my favourite ones that we've ever had. I think Daddy Passed the Salt and Sex in the Bathroom and everything else is, yeah. Yeah. So, girls, it has been amazing to have you on the show. For anyone who wants to follow you guys, where can they do that?
Okay, so Brogan, do you want to go for it? I'm passing it over to you.
Yeah, so they can follow us at _BloomOfficial
yes.
on Instagram and Twitter. And then just go check us out on Bloom on YouTube.
Yeah, if you type in like Bloom Mind Mapped, you can find us. Otherwise, you'll probably just be watching Troye Sivan sing a song called Bloom.
I must say, a couple of times I was trying to get to your channel.
Yeah. It's
maybe,
a nightmare.
Maybe this is bad, but I just kept putting in Bloom lesbians.
Well, that's fine.
And did it come
I
up?
Think, to be yeah, honest, we need to add it to our tags. Perfect.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you guys on the show. You've been some of the most wonderful guests that we've ever
Thank
had
you so much.
Here. And Rain and Lewis earlier as well. They were absolutely incredible. Do go follow these girls everywhere because I love you. And we're going to work on some stuff together, which I'm very, very
yeah.
excited about.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. And I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Brandy Clark.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming on.
Really just the perfect mess. And I ain't get bored. Yeah, if you want the girl next door, then go next door.